turn on your Bibles or take up your Bibles. We'll be looking at selected passages of Scripture. We entered into a new series last Sunday, and we're calling it How to Deescalate Conflict in the Family. It's not just information from our Heavenly Father that will help us deescalate things at home, but this will be information that will guide you and be very helpful if you have problems going on at work, in your community, or anywhere else for that matter. So if you don't have message notes, they were given out last week, and I'm not sure if we have any more. I don't think so. But for those of you live stream, you can be downloading the message notes. If you weren't with us last week, they've been filled in up to the point that we got to last Sunday morning. Last week, I began by saying just a thought. If you want new ideas, read an old book. And some of us need some new ideas on how to handle conflict at home or wherever else we may find ourselves and conflict is entering into our lives. Some of us are going to YouTube for everything. If you need to fix something, you just turn on YouTube and you have somebody there to tell you how to do it. But you can't go to YouTube and have someone speak to you as to how our Heavenly Father would want to fix the conflict that may be going on at home or at work or in the community. Our Lord wants us to have harmony in our lives. He wants us to be able to enjoy harmony, happiness at home. He wants us to be able to have harmony, especially among His children. So there should be harmony in the church. You know, the church, when it started, there was just one church. It was made up of all kinds of people, various races, etc., as it was moving along, as we've been studying in the book of Acts and have seen. But the church today has demonstrated by the fact that there is not one church. There are multiple denominations that exceed hundreds of denominations, and they all call themselves Christian. Something went wrong along the way, and it was conflict in the church. People being people, instead of people getting new ideas from an old book on how to take care of things the way the Lord wants to see it done. So we're learning that this morning. The Holy Spirit is here, obviously. Those of you that are born again, He is living within you. He wants to share something with each of you as He has been speaking to my own heart. So I'm going to implore you, listen. And hear what He has to say. Don't be listening and wanting to hear what He has to say if there is conflict at home for your spouse. You be listening for what He wants you to do if there's conflict at home. And kids, if you are having conflict with mom or dad or both at home, why don't you listen to what Jesus would say to you this morning and how you should respond to mom and dad? And likewise, kids are not second-class citizens. So parents, we need to be listening and responding to our children, our grandchildren, the way the Lord would want us to do it. So last week, we looked and we saw what Paul was telling us. Paul said, "Be an imitator of me, as I am an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ." He told that to us in the first letter to the Corinthian church family in chapter 11. If we imitate Paul, we cannot have conflict going on at home, at work, or in our ministries. It can't happen. If we imitate Paul as he imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. And if some of you have a problem with, well, I don't want to imitate a mere man. Okay, then imitate Jesus, the man God. It's a little bit harder to imitate him, but nonetheless, if you want to imitate somebody, you have the Lord Jesus and or the Apostle Paul. In Romans 12, last week, we looked at this. We are not to just pretend that we love others. We're to really love them. Hate what is wrong. I mean, hate those things that God hates. Hold tightly to what God wants us to hold tightly to, that good that he speaks about, the moral good. We are to love each other with genuine delight, genuine affection, and take delight in honoring one another. If this struck some of you last week as a problem area, I hope you've been reading this text over and over through this week. Because the Holy Spirit stands ready in your DPE, your Gnosko time, to help you supernaturally to be able to do this easily. Because this is his character. And he has given it to you. He just wants you and he to get together and give it as gifts to the people you live with, to the people you work with, to those folks that you are ministering with. He tells us never to be lazy. You know, grab that brother or sister in the Lord that you know, they sit there and they're so glad that someone else is doing all of the ministry, but yet they sit and they complain about, wow, I didn't like that song that was sung on Sunday. You know what? We're not singing songs. We are praying in music to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a song for you. It is a song for him. We need to help our brothers and sisters that are lazy and to help them to know that we are to be working hard. Not just, I did my shtick last week, and so-and-so has to do it this coming week, and then someone else has to do it after that week, and then I'll come back and do it in 5 weeks or something. We need to be working hard for the Lord and to serve the Lord enthusiastically. There is joy in our hearts. I mean, he's great, right? We say he's awesome. Some of you, I have heard you say that. He is the best of the best. There's no one greater, nicer, more wonderful, more loving, better than him. Why would we not want to serve him enthusiastically? So then I gave you three questions as we're getting ready to enter in fullness to this series. What did you hear? And then read the rest. What did you think? And read the rest there as well. And what do you plan to do about it? What did you do with the message last Sunday this week? I'd be really interested in hearing your victories. I would want to be that person that comes alongside of you and says, good job. But what did you do about last Sunday's message as we look deeply into Romans 12, verses 9 through 11? Well, I close by asking you, do you ever find yourself engaged in conflict? Many Christians and church leaders as well assume conflict is something built into their families, jobs, and ministries. In fact, It has become such a regular part of pastoral work that people frequently joke about the pervasiveness of conflict in ministry. The good news is conflict does not need to overwhelm you or me. There is hope. Look at your notes. Jesus has a lot to say about quarreling in our families and our church family. In his word, we find six principles that will help you to de-escalate conflict wherever you find it. Six principles. The first principle is understand how destructive conflict is. That's your fill-in. Destructive. Destructive. Synonyms are harmful, damaging, disastrous, toxic, fatal. Understand how destructive conflict is. Anyone can be negative. Can you say that with me? Anyone can be negative. Be positive and optimistic, hopeful and encouraging. I gave you an acrostic that I'll share with you later on again. In Proverbs 16:21, the wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Persuasive. The wise are known for their understanding, and their pleasant words are persuasive. In other words, your words in the Greek text are saying they are sweet. They're sweet to hear. They're attractive. They're helpful. They're not harsh. Your words are not harsh. In Proverbs 11:29, he says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. The fool is going to be disinherited from his family. The fool at work is going to get fired. The fool in ministry is going to be asked to please step out, sit down. We have things to talk about. The fact is, there is a real cost to conflict. Quarreling is a big deal to our Heavenly Father. From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God mentions the topic more than 75 times. Now, we don't need to have a topic mentioned 75 times or more. We only need for our Heavenly Father to say it once, to know that it's important to him, and he may be asking us to do something about it. At least six times, Abba says not to quarrel. He knows that it will destroy everything we hold dear if we do not get a handle on it. And some of you already, I think, know that because quarreling has gone too far. It should not surprise us that as Paul was passing on ministry, the wisdom that he had gained in ministry to two sons in the faith, Timothy and Titus, that he would be telling them this. In 2 Timothy 2:14, he gives Timothy an imperative. A command. He commands Timothy to remind everyone in the Ephesian church. Remind everyone about these things. And the grammar is telling us to keep on reminding them. There is redundancy here that this young pastor is being asked to speak about into the lives of his church family. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Timothy, I want you to tell those Ephesian brothers and sisters, my kids, I want you to tell them they are to stop fighting over words. The context here is about false teaching. But the principle that can be extracted here is to talk to each and every one of us, because we use words. We argue at work. We argue on the internet. We argue almost any place. And he's telling us here that we are to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. When he wrote a letter to the Ephesian church at another time, he was telling them that your speech is to build up. It is not to tear people down. If you have something negative to say to somebody, you can take them aside and you can, in kindness, kind words, speak to them about what they need to know from your point of view. But you do it with love. Everything that comes out of your mouth that may begin to sound negative to your brother or to your sister, it's coming from you because you are seeking their best, their highest good, not your best, not your highest good, and it may cost you, because there are those people who are simply not open to being built up, shared things that you know that come from the Word of God and that they should be practicing in their life, and they may say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. We see that happen time and again, and it's wrong. There are people that have come to GHCC over the years because of a conflict that they had with someone at their other church. And then they come here. And lo and behold, conflicts begin again because it was never dealt with at the other church. It was never brought up to the pastoral staff to say, I had an issue there, and you know what? I think these issues might be following me. Have you ever stepped out on the back of a ship or a boat and you see the wake that goes behind the boat? Oftentimes, I need to lovingly ask someone to look behind you. Look at the wake you're leaving. Do you see what's happening now out there in the middle of the wake? Way out there where it looks like the wake is going to meet the shoreline? There's an area that might need to be worked on, such as understanding how destructive quarreling can be. Titus, when Paul wrote Titus, he says, as for a person who stirs up division, there are those people who find their ways into various churches, and they need to be found out early. As early as we can. And we need to be able to sit down with them and hear them. Not just listen, but hear what they're having to say so that we don't have to have division. Well, you know, Pastor Ron said this, and when he was teaching this, later on, Pastor Eugene came along and he was teaching on that subject, and he said just the opposite. Well, I'm going to be of Gene, and I'm going to be of Ron. And all we do is end up dividing a church family and hurting lots of people and disappointing our Heavenly Father immeasurably. In Titus, he says, as for a person who sits here and stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Warped here is extrepo, and it means to have departed from the pattern of correct behavior and become corrupt. Action steps. The Word of God makes it clear that we should play a proactive role in reducing conflict. That means be sensitive. If you see something beginning to happen, then is the time to prayerfully step in and see what you can do to bring it to a quiet resolution. In Romans 12:18, we are told, do all that you can, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live in no conflict with everyone. Harmony with others may not always be achievable. Our Lord knows that. We know that. But believers should not be responsible for a lack of peace when they have really striven to bring it about. Ask Father God for forgiveness. Ask Him for forgiveness. In James 4, verses 8 and 9, we see Jewish symbolism coming out of here and for a demonstration of how in word they're talking about confession of sin and repentance, wanting to turn away from sinful activity, when he says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. These are called double-minded people. You're divided between God and the world. Let there be fears, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. We're talking about a genuine brokenness over sin, over conflict, my part in it, your part in it. That there are tears. You're brokenhearted over this. You cannot minimize your part in the quarrels that happen in your family, or at work, or in a ministry that you may be a part of. Our Lord's half-brother James, he points out that you must recognize your role in the conflict. Don't be looking at the speck in the other person's eye. Pay more attention to the log that's in your eye. Stop making excuses and ask the Holy Spirit for the power to change. This is why our DPE, our deep personal experience, our Gnosko time of getting to know Him intimately is so intensely important to the individual believer, that we will spend time with Him and ask Him during those times to give us the power to change. He is supernatural. He can do whatever needs to be done to take away conflict or our part in bringing conflict to a relationship. A wise man said, To believe something and not to live it is dishonest. And none of us really want to be dishonest when our Lord lovingly pours out through the Holy Spirit what can be done so that you can have peace in your life and bring peace to relationships that are in conflict. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, we have the Holy Spirit here speaking through the Apostle Paul to the first century church. The beautiful thing here is now he is speaking to us in the 21st century church, right here in Granada Hills on the corner of Balboa and Index. I mean, how cool is that? He is speaking to you and to me this morning through this wonderful book, this letter to the Colossians. He says, put on. It's like when you're getting dressed this morning. It's like putting on your clothes. And that's the way I'm going to illustrate it to you. Put on then. And bear in mind, in the passages just before this in Colossians, please read the entire book. It's a short letter. He tells us about the things to take off, the various sinful things we need to take off and get rid of. And in your DPE times, those deep personal experiences with Jesus, he will help you to undress yourself from sins that bog you down. Put on then as God's chosen ones. And this is beautiful here. Paul is saying, as the Holy Spirit's leading him, I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is saying here, God loves you. He is love, and he is saying here, he calls you beloved, and therefore he loves you with affection. You are very, very loved and very important to him. He wants the very best for you, and he offers it to you through Christ's Spirit. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, you're righteous, forgiven of your sins, but yet you know in your flesh there are other things. Compassionate hearts. This is like putting on your underclothes this morning. Put on compassionate hearts, a heart that is sensitive. It feels what other people are going through. If you're in the midst of a conflict, you may only feel what you're feeling. Try to feel what the other person is going through right now. Have a compassionate heart. These are your underclothes. And kindness. That's like, now you put on your shirt, you put on your blouse. Kindness, acts of kindness. Do acts of kindness, like we saw in Romans 12 last week. Be wanting to be pushing yourself and being first to really do things nice for your brothers and sisters, your husband, your wife. And then humility. It's like pulling on your trousers, your pants. Humility. Put them on. See yourself as being lowly. You think of the person at the end of the off-ramp who is looking very disheveled. They haven't been able to have a bath or a shower, and who knows. And they're looking for help. I should look at myself as being lower than they are at that moment. We are to be people who are without arrogance. And then we are to put on meekness. That's like putting on your socks. Put on meekness. No harshness, in other words. Well, I don't want to come across as being meek. You know, this is a man's problem. People will look at me like I'm a doormat and they can walk on me. No, that's not what meekness is defined as in the scriptures. Meekness is saying, look, you know, if I wasn't trying to understand the first step here in getting rid of conflict and knowing how destructive it is, I have so much power behind this fist, I could put this right through your face. And you probably could. But meekness says, even though I can do that, I'm going to hold that in abeyance. I'm not going to use that. Meekness, no harshness. Put on, then he says, patience. Patience, it's like putting on your shoes. Patience. Well, every time I ask for patience, you know, something comes along and I lose my patience. I understand that. So then I'm not going to ask for patience. You can't, it doesn't matter. You've already got it. The trouble is, you're not using it. You see, you're missing too many of your DPEs, your gnosko time with the Lord Jesus. Because patience comes when the Holy Spirit comes into you. When you confessed and repented of your sins and received, that's very important, that word received. Received the Lord Jesus into your life as your master and savior. When he came with the fruit of the Spirit. Those are his characteristics. And they now belong to you. You need only but to ask him to bring them forth and use them through you in your life to bless somebody else. They're already there. Patience. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. That's like putting on your coat this morning. It's an extension of patience, this bearing of with one another. If you see this person and they're beginning to bring about a conflict, be patient with them. Don't get mad and angry with them. Try to draw them to you and be able to talk to them with sweetness in your voice. A voice that is calm and tender. And then he says, bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. That's like putting on it's not even putting anything on. Forgiveness is something you do as a matter of pardoning somebody else for what they have done to you or to someone else. You forgive them. Just as Jesus has, he says here, as Jesus has forgiven you. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must. And I know that word must as it goes out over the airwaves and to others. There are times when you just don't want to, but you can. No, I can't. No, you can. Because if he said you must, he will give you the ability to do so. But you have to go to him. You've been called to a supernatural lifestyle. I don't know if you understand that. You know with words that God is supernatural. Jesus is supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. And you are supernatural when you receive God, the Holy Spirit, into your life. You can now do supernatural things. But it comes out of you having a deep relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And above all these, above all these things he's been talking about putting on, above all these, put on love. That's your overcoat over all the rest of the things that you've put on. Put on love. Put on agape. Put it on. Leave it on. Leave all these things on, really. But if you need to, go through a checklist every morning as you begin to sit down in your DPE time. Put these things on one at a time. Pray them through with the Holy Spirit so that you go out into the world fully dressed. Or before you meet your spouse that morning, you're fully dressed. And these things will help you with regard to conflict. And put on all these, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in what we're looking for, perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are called to peace, not to conflict. We don't have to be mad at people. It's not a necessity in our lives. The Holy Spirit can help us. The closer believers are to Jesus and to his likeness, his characteristics that we've been looking at here in this text, the closer we are going to be getting to one another and loving each other. Action step. A wise man said, the weak never forgive. Let that set a minute. The weak never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. So, family, be wise and be forgiving. Be compassionate. Have this compassionate heart. It's waiting for you to put to work. Be patient. Be kind. Be forgiving. So, understand how destructive conflict can be. Then do not expect other people to fulfill needs only, and we'll fill in that blank next Sunday. So, I don't think the Holy Spirit can make it any simpler for any human being to not understand, if they have come into God's family, how they can begin to cease conflict in their lives. But it does take something on our part. We need to sit down with him, with his word, open it up, or our message note, and open it up and go back through the process of what we're to take off and what we're to put on. It can't be simpler. We take off those things, we confess and repent. We put on these things enthusiastically. We put these things on because We are going to be used by the Lord to bring hope into the lives of any situation where there has been or currently is conflict going on. But we come with a different attitude. We come fully dressed, ready to meet whatever that conflict is. We come with hope. Remember the acrostic. H is for hope. O is for optimism. P is for being positive. And E is encouragement. You be that person in Christ Jesus, fully dressed. And you will be the peacemaker. You will be the one that will stop a conflict before it even begins. If a husband and a wife were to sit down and study this independently and together, there would be no more conflict in their homes. None. None whatsoever. If ministry teams were to sit down and go through these things before they even begin to write out what they hope to see accomplished in 2021 for the Lord, from their team's perspective, if they went through this, there would be no conflicts in that team. The Christian that goes to work fully dressed, spiritually speaking, is going to be the peacemaker at work. He or she is going to find themselves to be the leader that people are going to go to, whatever the kind of relationships are, because they come fully dressed in the Spirit of God and they do supernatural, wonderful, godly things. And it's all laced together in love. The focus is never on the believer who's fully dressed, looking really cool. Looking cool in the Lord, not fully dressed in the style of the season, but ready to be that person that God can use to bring peace. Get it? Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you again and again. First words out of some people's mouths are they are so appreciative for having entered into the day and seen it for the beauty that you created in it. And it seems that for me, my first words after mentioning who you are is, I am so grateful, thankful for what you've been doing in my life and in the lives of other people that I've come to know. Father, thank you for the blessing of giving some of your attributes to us to be used for your wonderful glory. Father, may it be true of Vijay that when people come away from having been with him, they are hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. And may it be when people come away from having had an opportunity to spend time with Chris, that they come away hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. And may it be also true when people have spent time with Pastor Eugene. Again, they came in with maybe heavy hearts, but they leave being hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. Just like when Kath and I, this past Friday night, had a delightful dinner with a couple in the church, a wonderful couple. And we came away that night driving home hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. May this be our goal, Father. May your wonderful Holy Spirit help us with this first of six principles to help us to be the ones that bring about de-escalation of conflict in people's lives, because we know how destructive it can be. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.